Cleopatra's Legacy, The Enduring Struggle, Chapter 6, Mother of Egypt and the World. Last time on Cleopatra's Struggle, Cleopatra's mentor at the mystery school reveals to her the true nature of the battle she must face, a war not of earthly power, but of spirit. Shaken by a vision where Apophis, the serpent god, unveiled himself as a manifestation of ancient evil, possibly Lucifer himself, Cleopatra began to understand the cosmic stakes of her struggle. The path ahead was clear. She must delve deeper into the spiritual mysteries that could save her people and herself, and maybe the world, from the encroaching darkness. In the shadow chambers of the mystery school, Cleopatra immerses herself in the study of ancient texts. The words are dense with wisdom, written by those who have walked the path of spirit long before her time. Murmuring to herself, the Queen of the Nile says, "The triple goddess, the mother, the maiden, the crone, each representing a stage of life, a stage of power." As she turns the pages of the text, a gentle breeze flows through an open cutout. Cleopatra studies with a fierce determination, understanding that her role is not merely that of a queen, but of something more, one that is intertwined with the destiny of her people. She is no longer a ruler, but a spiritual guide for Egypt. "I am the mother of Egypt, the protector not only of its borders, but the protector of its spirit." In the quiet of the mystery school, Cleopatra's resolve strengthens. She realizes that she must guide Egypt not with an iron fist, but with the wisdom of the mother, nurturing the spiritual growth of her people. That evening, back at the palace with the ancient guardian Amunet, Cleopatra discusses her new perspective. "To be a mother to Egypt, it is more than just ruling. It is a path that requires strength, yet also empathy. I must be firm, but also have some kind of compassion. So how can I balance the two?" And Amunet, gently with wisdom, says, "A mother's strength lies in her ability to nurture as much as it does in her ability to protect. To guide your people, you must offer them not only justice, but also the possibility of redemption. It is a harder path, Cleopatra, but it is one that will truly save your people." And Cleopatra, softly nodding, says, "To be both strong and compassionate, to guide with firmness but also offer hope, this is the role that I must embrace, even when it gets difficult." And Amunet nods and says, "Well, in doing so, you will lead Egypt not just as a queen, but as a true mother to its soul." Days later, as Cleopatra delves deeper into her studies, a vision begins to take shape, a vision of Egypt's future. A faint hum fills the air, growing louder, building into a powerful resonance. "What is this? This is not the Egypt that I know." Before her eyes, Egypt is transforming. The temples and pyramids stand tall, but they are not merely monuments. They are beacons of spiritual light, centers of learning and wisdom. In this future Egypt, Cleopatra sees her people embracing the ancient mysteries, not just as subjects, but as seekers of the truth. And at the heart of this vision, she stands, not as a queen, but as a spiritual teacher and mother, guiding her people toward enlightenment. Cleopatra says softly with resolve, "This is my path, and this is what I must nurture." One night, after a day of intensive study, Cleopatra finds herself drifting into a deep meditative state. and a sudden presence fills her room within the palace. A figure unlike anything that she's ever seen before, but resembling a god she's seen images of in the temples and within the texts. Are you Thoth? And Thoth, in a calm, resonant voice, says, "Yes, it is he. I am indeed Thoth, the keeper of wisdom, the scribe of the gods, and I've come to guide you, Cleopatra." Before her stands an ibis-headed figure, his form both awe-inspiring and serene. His head is that of an ibis bird, wise and ancient, with a long, curved beak, his body robed in the garments of a scholar. In one hand he holds a scroll, while in the other he gestures toward the unseen.
"Come, there is something you must see, Cleopatra."
There is a sudden shift in the air, a swirling of energy as they are transported to the astral plane. The new mother of Egypt's spirituality finds herself in the heart of Thoth's Bibliotheca, a vast ethereal library that stretches beyond the limits of her sight. The walls are lined with ancient scrolls and books, each one pulsing with the knowledge of the ages. "This is incredible. So much knowledge, so much wisdom."
"Well, it is the repository of all that's been known and all that will ever be known. Here, knowledge is not just recorded, but it's lived. And every scroll, every book is a testament to the divine pursuit of learning."
Cleopatra leaned in, thoughtful. "You speak of learning as if it were a prayer, a form of worship." And Thoth replies,
"Well, in many ways it is. To seek wisdom is to seek the divine. The acquisition of knowledge is an embrace of the divine order, a way to connect with the gods themselves. It's a ritual in its own right."
"So how do learning and ritual differ?"
"Well, in many cases, they're inseparable," Thoth says gently. "A true ritual is an act of learning, just as true learning is an act of worship. To understand the divine, one must engage in both the mind and the spirit. In either case, worship or learning."
Cleopatra absorbs his words, understanding now that her pursuit of knowledge is not merely for power or strategy, but a deeper connection with the divine itself. Cleopatra is resolute. "Then I shall continue this pursuit with the reverence that it deserves." And Thoth adds,
"And in doing so, you will find that the path to wisdom is also the path to the divine. The more you learn, the closer you come to the truth."
With a final nod, Thoth begins to fade, leaving Cleopatra in the endless library of the gods, filled with the understanding that her journey of learning is a sacred one, intertwined with the very fabric of the divine. But as Cleopatra's vision of a future Egypt grows clearer, so too does the threat that looms over her kingdom. Cleopatra, sensing something dark, says to her advisors,
"Well, what is this?"
There's a deep resonant hum, and the presence of Apophis seems to grow stronger. He appears as a serpent, striking a menacing pose with his coiled body, his head lifted high and tilted slightly as he peers forward with piercing, glowing eyes. His sharp fangs are partially bared, while his sleek, scaled form undulates with latent power, poised to strike at any moment.
"You may see the light, Cleopatra, but the darkness is always close. You will never escape me."
"All that is dark, all that is evil, that is me. I am the antithesis of order, light, and goodness. Don't think that your efforts will do any good, for I have corrupted kingdoms greater than this, the very kingdom of God, the Garden of Eden. I've brought empires to their knees. What makes you think you can stand against me?"
But with the fierceness of a mother, Cleopatra stood firm and defiant. "I am not afraid of you, Apophis. I will protect Egypt, and I will guide my people to a future beyond your reach."
We shall see, Cleopatra. We shall see.
Cleopatra understands now that her struggle is not just for Egypt, but for the very soul of her people. The threat of Apophis grows, but so too does her resolve and learning. She knows that the battle ahead will test her like never before, but she is ready to face it.